I began a series of messages last Sunday morning entitled, The God We Sometimes Forget. This is what the Bible says. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father. Most of us are pretty conscientious of Him. The Word, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Then John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Word being Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And it says these three are one. And most of us are pretty familiar with God the Father, and pretty familiar with Jesus Christ, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, many times we're not. And now I want to spend several weeks talking to you about the God we sometimes forget, because we desperately need Him. We desperately need Him. I want to invite you to stand and take your Bible and go to John chapter 14. I want to call your attention to verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26 reads like this. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Have you ever had somebody who was thought they was helping you and they were actually hurting you? I heard about a man who was in his doorway. He was in the front doorway of his house and he was struggling with a washing machine. And his friend came by and saw him there in the doorway struggling with the washing machine, and he jumped in there to help him. And after about 15 minutes of struggling, that friend said to him, we're never going to get this washing machine in the house. He said, I'm not trying to get it in the house. I'm trying to get it out of the house. Amen? He thought he was helping, but he was actually hurting. A lady gets on a bus one day, and the driver of that bus says to that lady, that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen. Well, she's appalled. She's offended. She goes to the back of the bus. She sits down, and she says to her friend, that bus driver just royally offended me. I'm a good mind just to go up there and give him a piece of my mind. Her friend said, you ought to. Well, the person seated there on the bus said, you ought to. And if you want to go and do it, I'll hold your monkey. You know, folks, some people think they're helping, but they're actually hurting. Now, the scripture we read today said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter. It comes from the word parakletos, which means helper, which means encourager, which means one who comes alongside us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our encourager. He's the one who comes along beside us. And ladies and gentlemen, with affirmation, I want you to know something. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. You and I desperately need the Holy Spirit. See, folks, God's in heaven. He's on the throne. Jesus is seated at his right hand. But our agent on earth is the Holy Spirit. And I need the Holy Spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit. And folks, let me share something with you, me included. I don't have any rocks to throw. But in most Baptist churches, in most Methodist churches, in most Presbyterian churches, we haven't talked enough about the Holy Spirit. We haven't talked enough about the Holy Spirit, who's just as much God as God the Father, who's just as much God as God the Son. He is God. He's the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, you need Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I need Him. We desperately need the Holy Spirit, because the Christian life is not difficult without the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And I began to think about what are some accomplishments that are literally impossible without the Holy Spirit? What are some things that are just impossible without the Holy Spirit? First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that conversion is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said these words. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except to me a man be born of water." And we know that a woman's water breaks and she has a baby. But just as there's that physical birth, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible for there to be a conversion without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. There's a young lady that's in the Potter's house. Her name's Tanya. And Tanya was raised by her grandfather. And Tanya said, "My grandfather, 77 years old." And she said, "He never went to church. He raised me, but we never went to church." But one Sunday after she came into the Potter's house, he came to Rock Springs Church. And he gave his life to Christ. And this is what he said. He said, "When the preacher asked me to raise my hand," he said, "something lifted my hand up." "Something lifted my hand up." Well, you and I know what that was. It was the precious Holy Spirit. It was the precious Holy Spirit. See, folks, you can't become a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Conversion can't take place without the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you something else. Assurance can't take place without the Holy Spirit. Assurance. See, Romans 8 and 16 says this. It says, "The Spirit itself." Now, people have taken this verse out of context, and this is what they've said. They've said, "My spirit hooked up with Ray's spirit. Our spirit, we had a kindred, we had a spirit." Well, you may have that, but that's not what that verse is teaching. This says, "The Spirit itself," we're talking about the Holy Spirit, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's not talking about you and a brother hooking up. That's not talking about you and a sister hooking up. It's talking about you and the Holy Spirit of God hooking up. It's talking about when we come to know Christ, we sense something different in our lives. We sense somebody inside of us. See, folks, somebody said, "Oh, when I came to know Christ, my conscience got more keener. I got more conscientious." No, 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 you didn't. You didn't get a greater conscience. The Holy Spirit came into your heart. The Holy Spirit, that's the assurance. That's one of the assurances of our salvation. Let me tell you something else. It's impossible without the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. Listen what 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says. It says, "But the natural man," that's a man who doesn't know Christ, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What I'm saying, folks, you can be a Harvard graduate. You can have a doctorate from Yale and read this and not understand it. Because it doesn't come through natural knowledge. It doesn't come through academia. It comes through the Holy Spirit. It's a book that was inspired by God and can only be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Little boy was writing his girlfriend a love letter. And his mother said, "Johnny, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm writing my girlfriend a love letter." She said, "Oh, Johnny, you can't write." He said, "That's okay. She can't read." Ladies and gentlemen, You can read, but you won't understand outside of the Holy Spirit. There's another accomplishment that can't be accomplished outside of the Holy Spirit. And that's service. That's service. See, when you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit deposits spiritual gifts into your life. According to 1 Corinthians 12, according to Ephesians 4, according to Romans chapter 12, the Holy Spirit deposits spiritual gifts into your life. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Benny? I'm talking about some people have the spiritual gift of helps. Some people have the spiritual gift of hospitality. Some have the spiritual gift of teaching. Some have the spiritual gift of music. But here's what I want you to know something. Outside of the Holy Spirit and fresh feelings, you will burn out. Even though God has gifted you to do something, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very closely. Even though God has imparted you the ability to do something, you will burn out outside of fresh feelings of God's presence. Now, understand this. You say, let me explain to you what I believe. Really, friend, I don't mean it's wrong, but I could care less. Because I could care less what I believe. It's not what I believe. It's not what you believe. It's what the Bible teaches. And Ephesians 5 and 18 says this. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now you got to understand, listen to me very closely. You've got to understand who this was written to. You've got to understand the context. Ephesians 1 and 1, the book of Ephesians, was written to the saints at Ephesus. These are saints. These are devout people. These are people that love God. These are people that served in the church at Ephesus. But God said to these people, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to report to you that all of us in our lives, we need fresh feelings. We need fresh feelings. D.L. Moody, a great preacher of days gone by, used to say, God, fill me. God, fill me with your Spirit. God, fill me with your Spirit. And somebody asked D.L. Moody, why do you pray that prayer so often? And D.L. Moody said, because I leak. Because I leak. Folks, we're in a battle. We're in a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I leak. In my life, I leak. Sometimes I'm real close to God, but sometimes I'm not real close to God. And what I've learned, I need to go before God and say, God, I just need a fresh feeling of your touch. I just need a fresh feeling of your presence. I just need a fresh feeling of your power. Now think about it. Most of you wouldn't think about getting drunk. Be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine. I read about a guy that was drinking too much. And he said to the bartender, where's the men's toilet? He said, first door on your left. He took the first door on the right and fell 30 feet into an elevator shaft. And they yelled down to him, are you okay? He said, I'm okay. But whatever you do, don't flush it. Most of us wouldn't think about being drunk. But we live our lives not being filled with God's Spirit. And God said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He gave us two commands. Don't be drunk. But you make double dog sure, that's Tennessee talk. You make double dog sure, Benny, that you're filled with the Spirit. I want to tell you, folks, it's impossible to serve the Lord without the Holy Spirit. You'll burn out. You'll get discouraged. You'll throw up your hands and quit. We need the Holy Spirit. Not only is it impossible to do these things, but it's also impossible to witness. Acts 1 and 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Let me tell you, folks, when we try to do it in our own fleshly manner, it won't be successful. But when the Holy Spirit brings us to a point, He gives us the words. He takes it in the direction it's meant to be. We start remembering things that we don't understand where they're coming from, and they're coming from the precious Holy Spirit. See, folks, there's some accomplishments that are impossible without the Holy Spirit. But I also want you to see the attitudes about the Holy Spirit. See, there's three attitudes I believe that most people have about the Holy Spirit. One of those attitudes is ignorance. And you say, well, what a harsh word, Pastor Benny. No. Ignorance only means unlearned. See, here's what I found. Most people think we come to church because there's where God's housed. But listen to what 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Folks, the Holy Spirit is not housed here. The Holy Spirit's housed in you. The Holy Spirit's not housed in some temple. The Holy Spirit is housed in your temple. So a lot of people's attitude concerning the Holy Spirit is one of ignorance. But a lot of people's attitude is one of indifference. They think somehow that the Holy Spirit is weird, that He's mystical. But folks, I want to report to you today, there's nothing weird about the Holy Spirit. There's nothing weird. He's not a force. He's a person with a mind, with a will, and with emotions. John R. Rice, the old preacher from days gone by, one night was praying to the Holy Spirit. And somebody said, "John R., you know, you need to pray to Jesus or God." He said, "Oh no, I can pray to the Holy Spirit because I know them all three." But see, some people's attitude concerning the Holy Spirit is indulgence. You know, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, some people get nervous because they've done things, they've seen things that have been totally indulgent in the name of the Holy Spirit. They've seen things that have been indulgent in the name of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know something. There's nothing biblical about people gathering around an altar and barking like dogs, especially bulldogs. Listen, there's nothing biblical. There's not one account in the Bible of a guy having an uncontrollable laughter in the name of the Holy Spirit. We've got the holy laughter movement. But I just want to have a chapter, and I just want to have a verse. Are y'all okay? There's nothing biblical about me getting and rolling and across the aisles of the church in the name of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing biblical about an image coming up on the side of the wall in the church in the name of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing biblical about dove feathers falling from the sky in the name of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing biblical about gold dust on the minister's hands when he prayed for me in the name of the Holy Spirit. Folks, if we don't have chapter and verse, we don't need to have it. I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he is not weird. And Jesus said, it's more important, young people, it's more important for him to be here than even me to be here. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but it's more important that he stay right here. And he lives with inside of us, and he's a person. And he gets hurt. You know, the Bible says this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. So I can grieve him? You ever think about this? What does the grieve means? To deeply sadden. I deeply sadden the Holy Spirit. I look and I say, I take PJ here. And I talk to Jeff about PJ when they're both good men. And when I talk to Jeff about PJ, and after it I feel so bad, you say, what's happened? I've deeply saddened the Holy Spirit. See, hey, look, come up real close. Did you ever sin? Now, if you have, raise your hand. Look, those who are not lifting their hands, be careful. They'll steal your wallet. Yeah, be careful, those that didn't raise their hand, and hold both hands. Put one arm around your wife and the other on your wallet. Amen? And after you sin, you feel so bad. You say, why? The Holy Spirit. He's deeply saddened. He's deeply saddened. The attitudes. Now, folks, let me wrap all this up in about 20, 30, 45 minutes. Now, let me give you the advantages of the Holy Spirit. When I was putting this series and I was praying and I was saying, Lord, please help me. And I began to think about, but Lord, I'm talking all this time about the Holy Spirit. Perhaps I need to be more relevant. And I began to think about, you know, marriages are in trouble. Ralph was driving home one evening and realized it was his daughter's birthday and he hadn't bought her a present. He drove to the mall and ran to the toy store and asked the store manager, how much is that Barbie in the window? The manager replied, which one? We have Barbie Goes to Gym for $19.95, Barbie Goes to Ball for $19.95, Barbie Goes Shopping for $19.95, Barbie Goes to the Beach for $19.95, and Divorce Barbie for $375. Why is Divorce Barbie $375? Ralph asked. The manager replied, well, Divorce Barbie comes with Ken's car, Ken's house, Ken's boat, Ken's dog, Ken's cat, and Ken's furniture. And I said, Lord, there's so many practical needs that people have. And he was after the Lord said to me, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me tell you something. I'll be a better husband if I get love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. I'll be a better man. And that stuff comes through the Holy Spirit. You say, "Brother Benny, I've got some things in my life I need to overcome." Galatians 5 and 16, but walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. I need the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh touch of God's presence. You need a fresh touch of God's presence. Now what are the advantages of the Holy Spirit? I'll try. Listen, I'll try. First of all, He permanently enters us. Did you ever think about this? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon Deborah for an occasion, Esther for an occasion, David for an occasion, Moses for an occasion. God would come upon people for a specific task. But folks, the Holy Spirit permanently enters us. He permanently enters us. I'll tell you something else. He powerfully equips us. He powerfully equips us. D.L. Moody said he had the largest congregation in Chicago. And he said, "I would go and preach. And every time I'd preach, there'd be two sisters, old maids out there. And he said, they'd say to me, 'D.L., we're praying that you're filled with the Spirit.' And he said, I got angry at those two old heifers. I mean, sisters. I said, 'Don't pray for me. Pray for the people.' And everywhere that said, 'D.L., we're praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And he said, I was walking the streets of New York, prayed, and the Holy Spirit came upon me. And I said, 'God, if you don't stay your hand, just stay your hand.' And he said, after that, I got back in the pulpit and I preached the same messages. But he said, oh, they were different. The results were different. And folks, let me tell you, whatever you do for the Lord, if you greet for the Lord, if you teach for the Lord, if you park buses, if you work with children, whatever you do, it'll be different after the precious Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who that makes the difference. The Holy Spirit is who makes the difference. We desperately need Him. I tell you, He permanently enters us. He powerfully equips us. But He personally encourages us. What does comforter mean? It means helper. It means, no, don't put up, because I've not shut up. It means one who comes alongside us. Yes, Acts chapter 9 tells us that the Holy Ghost edifies. He comforts us. He comes alongside. He comes along beside us, encourages us, and helps us. As our musicians are coming, I wish you could have been here yesterday. Yesterday at 5 o'clock, I gathered with a few people and I had prayer. And after everybody was gone, I thought they were gone, I think there were a few, I was sitting on that back row when I started singing. I started singing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just the mention of his name. It's like fire in winter cold. It's like pure, precious gold. Jesus, just the mention of his name. And I said, Lord, I need a fresh filling. I need a fresh filling. She said, Brother Benny, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking. I'm grateful. But you still need a fresh filling of God's presence. I need a fresh filling. We get tired. We get weary. And a motivational talk's not enough. A pat on the back's not enough. We just need a fresh filling of God's presence. It's not mystical. It's just saying, God, I just need a fresh touch of your presence. I just need a fresh touch of your power. I just need a fresh filling.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and his blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry. I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.